Hello, I'm Dr. Ethna Reed, Director of the Exemplary Center for Reading Instruction, or ECRI, in Salt Lake City, Utah. Today's lesson is on the integration of writing with the teaching of inferential comprehension. An earlier lesson focused on the teaching of writing and the advantages of beginning writing instruction as soon as reading instruction begins. Also at that time, I discussed and showed examples of the integration of writing with the teaching of comprehension, study skills, and literature. Our last lesson was on the teaching of inferential comprehension, and we saw a teacher teaching the inferential comprehension of finding the character and also of identifying the setting. Emphasis in ECRI classrooms is placed on the teaching of writing and speaking, the output languages. It is as we write and speak that we are forced to think. Writing also serves as a mastery test for a student's ability to comprehend. January 15th's lesson was on the teaching of inferential comprehension. As an ECRI teacher presents the practice selection to teach an inferential comprehension skill, which is the second day of instruction, the teacher commences teaching the corresponding writing skill. We saw a teacher of first grade readers introduce to students the concept of inferring a character. The teacher stated an objective and then modeled and prompted the use of the comprehension skill of inferring a character. On a second day of inferential comprehension instruction, with a practice or third selection, the teacher teaches the students the same comprehension skill of inferring a character. The selections the students read are always at their independent level of reading. They are written by teachers, such as the one we wrote on the giraffe with its long neck lives in a zoo. But teachers can also use good literature, such as the following poem by William J. Smith. A silver-scaled dragon with jaws flaming red sits at my elbow and toasts my bread. I hand him fat slices, and then one by one, he hands them back when he sees they are done. Isn't that a beautiful poem? And of course, the children are led through the poem until they're able to infer that the character is a toaster. And they describe the details that help them to make that inference. It is on then the second day of comprehension instruction that the teacher teaches students the corresponding writing skill. In last week's first grade reading class, it was inferring a character. Following are directives that teachers use to teach the writing so the students' readers can infer the character. The teacher begins with an objective. You will learn to write so readers can infer who the characters are. And then questions, what will you learn to do? Teaches. To infer who the characters are, readers look at the details to see what information is given that is not written and ask the questions, what do readers look at? Why do readers look at them? Following the objective, the teacher models. I will write so readers can infer who the characters are. What will I do? And the teacher answers his or her own questions. Write so readers can infer who the characters are. Writing details about the characters to provide information that is not written helps readers infer who the characters are. What does writing details about the characters to provide information that is not written help readers to do? Infer who the characters are. And here's just a sample of what a teacher might write. She raced through the pasture, her mane flying in the wind. Behind her followed the foal. At the stream, she paused for a long drink of water. Then stopping briefly to nudge her foal, she ran again to the far side of the pasture. And the teacher tells herself or himself, infer who the character is or who the characters are. And of course, in this instance, it was a horse, or more specifically, a mare. What are the details that gave the readers that idea? And can go back through the selection, mane flying in the wind, nudge her foal, ran to the far side of the pasture. But now the teacher asks the students to write in the practice directives. You will write so readers can infer who the characters are. What will you do? Writing details about the characters to provide information that is not written helps readers infer who the characters are. What does writing details about the characters to provide information that is not written help readers to do? And then the teacher tells them to write. And this is just a brief writing period, an opportunity for children to begin to understand what writing to infer the character would be. Then the students exchange papers. As the teacher says, have readers infer who the characters are. Notice that it's plural. They turn their papers to the left, share them, talk about the details that gave that information to the children, and then share it again with the person on their right. And the question always, what are the details that gave the readers that idea? An important one, so that they look for the details to see what information is given that is not written. Notice some of the selections that were written by second grade students in Jackson, Michigan, to infer the characters. She went to a cottage in the woods. Seven little men knocked on the door. A queen didn't like her. She gave her an apple and the girl fell in a deep sleep. A prince married her. Do we know who that is? Another girl had time to write too. It is red. It pumps blood. It's inside your body. It helps you to stay alive. It beats fast when you run and it beats slowly when you lay down for a while. Her second one was, they are little. They have pointy ears. They like to make toys and shoes. Some of them work for Santa Claus. Can you identify those two different characters? Mike wrote, they lived long ago. Some of them ate plants. They lived more than 100 million years ago. They lived on land and sea. The king of them was big and strong. Let me share one more. He lived in America and he carried a big bag full of apple seeds and he planted the seeds and they would someday grow and be fine apple trees. And he walked all over America so all of the children would have fruit. Could you identify the last two characters? It is easy to see that these students know what an author must do if his readers are to infer the characters. Let us observe now as a teacher teaches her students how to write so their readers can infer the setting.
You will learn to write so readers can infer the setting. What will you learn to do?
Write so readers can infer the setting.
To infer the setting, readers look at details to see what information is given that is not written. What do readers look at?
Details.
Why do they look at them? Very good. I will write so readers can infer the setting. What will I do?
Write
so readers can infer the setting. Writing details about the setting to provide information that is not written helps readers to infer the setting. What does writing details about the setting to provide information that is not written help readers to do?
Infer
the setting. I wrote this earlier. We could see water and green trees in the distance. And with renewed vigor, we struggled on, hopeful for the life-sustaining water that we so desperately needed. But as we approached the hoped-for oasis, it faded before our eyes. With night approaching, we despaired of finding relief, and we bedded down on the hot sand. In desperation, we fell into a restless sleep. Okay. We could see water and green trees in the distance. And with renewed vigor, we struggled on, hopeful for the life-sustaining water that we so desperately needed. But as we approached the hoped-for oasis, it faded before our eyes. With night approaching, we despaired of finding relief, and we bedded down on the hot sand. In desperation, we fell into a restless sleep. Okay, what are the details? Infer the setting.
The desert.
The desert is the setting. What were the details that gave you the idea that it was this a desert?
The hot sand.
Let me bring it. Okay, the hot sand.
Hopeful oasis.
Okay, look for oasis. Good, life-sustaining water. Very good. If an oasis disappears on the desert, what do you have?
Mirage.
A mirage, and that is a characteristic of the desert. Very good. Okay, you will write so readers can infer the setting. What will you do? Writing details about the setting to provide information that is not written helps readers to infer the setting. What does writing details about the setting to provide information that is not written help readers to do?
Infer the setting.
Very good. Now, I have a piece of paper. I'd like you to put your name and date on this paper, and I'd like you to begin to write so readers can infer the setting. Good, you're indenting.
I was given the writing that these students did as a result of the teacher's lesson, and let me share two with you. Courtney wrote, "Thick green pine trees made a shadowy pathway. The distant stream was slightly heard. Small squirrels quickly ran up the trees. The sun made dappled sunbeams through the massive trees. A deer and her baby hop from behind some green shrubs." It was easy for the students to infer that that was a forest. Richard wrote, "John walked to his seats with his dad, row 64, seat 12. He waited for the game to start. He decided to buy a hot dog. When he walked back, he noticed that the game was starting. The hot air felt nice. Then he saw his favorite player, Chipper Jones, walk up to the plate. The pitcher threw a 90-mile-per-hour fastball to Chipper Jones. As the ball reached the bat, Chipper hit it over the fence for a home run." We can all identify with a baseball game and a baseball field. Wonderful writing, great opportunity for students to learn how to write so readers can infer the setting. Teaching students to write so they can be understood by readers enhances the students' reading comprehension as well as enables them to demonstrate the mastery of the skill. Writers are far more appreciative of authors than mere readers are. Only after we have written do we begin to recognize the processes by which authors convey meaning to an audience. Dr. Leland Jacobs, one of my favorite professors and a good friend, believed that enjoyment of literature was dependent upon the continued growth of the students' creative and critical thinking abilities and on their conscious appreciation of the literary skill that the author has evidenced. I am convinced that students must not only be taught creative and critical thinking abilities, but they must be taught the writer's craft for a conscious appreciation of literary skills. It is only after readers become authors that they recognize as they read the carefully chosen word, the neat turn of phrase, the cadence line, the apt buildup of sentence upon sentence, the fresh simile and metaphor, the artfully controlled tempo, the appropriate choice of literary form. Only as students increase in their ability to write do they begin to detect quality in what they read. And as they recognize quality in what they read, their writing assumes similar quality. Teachers need to nurture a passion for writing in their students. Encourage them to write after school, in the mornings, in the evenings, on the weekends. Children have much to say if time is provided for them to say it, and if students develop the ability to express themselves during writing instruction. Since writing is a way of learning, teachers in all areas of study should concern themselves with their students' writing abilities. Writing requires thinking, organizing the developed thought or idea, and putting it down on paper. I want to thank the teachers who have allowed us to come into their classrooms and videotape them for these lessons. I'm sure they have become nervous, as any of us would if we were being videotaped. The next session on February 12th will answer the question, why teach penmanship? We certainly wish you well in your endeavors as you teach reading. Please feel free to call if you have questions about anything that you see during these lessons. and also if you want more information. Notice on the next screen that we have our toll-free telephone number and our websites.